podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by SmartThings, the easiest and most affordable way to create a smart home. Protect and control your home from anywhere with no contracts or monthly fees. For 10% off any home security kit, visit smartthings.com/twit and use the code TWIT10 at checkout. And by Prosper. Prosper is a peer-to-peer lending marketplace which connects people who are looking to borrow money with those who have money to lend. Visit prosper.com/twit and receive a $50 Visa prepaid card when you get a loan. And by Lantronics, maker of the X-Print server. Print from any Android phone, tablet, Chromebook, or Kindle Fire to virtually any printer. For more information, visit xprintserver.com/twit and enter the code TWIT to receive free shipping on your order. Welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 167, recorded on Tuesday, June 24th, 2014. We are your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
I'm Gina Trapani.
United in studio. Yay! It's the episode we look forward to every single year.
Awesome,
we can all
be
here in the flesh.
Not only are we thankful you're back,
but
we're thankful to have Gina in person.
That's
right. I'm very grateful to be here.
Picked her up in the city, drove her up to Petaluma, got her here, and so
in a Tesla.
In a Tesla. It was a really nice Tesla too.
Just saying, it's a pretty sweet ride. We are also super stoked to welcome back to the show Michael Wolfson, Android Google developer expert this time.
Yes, thank you.
A little bit of a change from last time. This is your third pre-IO show. This is kind of a ritual.
This is my spot. This is my zone. I'm happy. So I'm an Android Google developer expert. That's a program that Google picks for to highlight top developers. And so that's new for me.
Uh-huh.
The only thing I have to say is I don't work for Google and I don't speak for Google. Anyway.
But other than that, you can talk about Google all you want. It's great.
Yeah. Well, it's a nice thing. I don't work for Google, but, you know.
But you've been anointed.
Yes.
Yeah, so. That's pretty cool, man. Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. It's exciting.
Yeah. And that means that IO's like paid and everything? Like,
No, it means I get a ticket.
Oh, okay. All right.
I still have to, but it means I get the option
get
to
the
pay
option
my
to
way
pay.
To
okay.
Is there a special developer expert champagne room or some sort of perk?
See.
Is there some
yeah,
sort
the
of
VIP
like,
room.
Is there a green carpet kind of that you get to walk? You get
yeah,
a preferred
so.
Seating
green
maybe?
Carpet.
Or, yeah.
So somewhere we can look down on the masses,
yeah, exactly,
maybe,
yeah.
that sort of thing?
Yeah.
I hope so.
I really think there should be a green carpet at Google I.O. somewhere. I think that's a great idea.
Well, it was funny because we came from the city, and Gina and I met at the Moscone Center, and everyone's there registering, getting their badges, mm-hmm. and there's just a whole bunch of nerds leaving the Moscone building with their badges around their necks. So I was like, oh, I could just jack one of these right now and get
oh,
it.
Yeah.
I could hold, like, it's this would be easy. It's like, but
they're not that hard.
I had to protect my badge.
I played it cool.
And my t-shirt
like,
and my water bottle. I had to, you know, protect
the New Yorker
it
thug came out of me.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, these guys aren't protecting their badges. You could just yoink one.
You're better than that.
I'm better than that. I know. Yeah, yeah. So I found a good spot in the glass to go up against tomorrow and just
sadly.
Yeah. No.
Well, obviously, we're going to be talking a lot about Google I.O. because that's on everybody's mind. Google I.O. starts tomorrow, so we have a lot to talk about there, both things that we think are going to happen and, guessing, basically, on our part. So we'll see what we come up with. We also have to talk about the Amazon Fire Phone. Pretty cool / interesting stuff there. Why Android game developers are very happy right now, at least developing for the Android platform seems to be pretty good for game developers right now. And Facebook goes to Africa. It's a little side story that I thought was kind of interesting on ways to improve your app when you have billions of dollars. Basically.
It's a good challenge.
Yeah, there you go. And much more. But we, you know what? Let's run the news thing for Google I.O. It's your typical one. It's not special or anything. In fact, it really needs to be updated. That thing is looking old.
In comparison to the other bumpers,
it's really a sore thumb.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate thing is, it's like the top one.
Right. It's
the first one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
3 years ago, it was great, Jason.
Oh, yes. Believe me. Right. It was created in a quick second.
Yes.
Out of necessity. Right. So Google I.O. is this thing that we do every year. And Gina, that's why you're here. Michael, yeah. That's why you're here. So let's talk about
it. It's this thing that some of you do every year. I'm sorry.
I know.
I'm sorry, Ron.
You did the first year. It was like, yeah.
You did a year.
So. Exciting, though.
Very exciting. And right off the top, we got some pretty cool news today. Sundar Pichai basically flat out told, was it Business Insider or? No, it was Bloomberg. I believe it was Bloomberg. Anyways, basically Sundar Pichai said, we're thanks. This wasn't
there
a direct quote, but I appreciate you running the bumper. Basically says, yes, we're going to be previewing the next version of Android tomorrow. And that's about it. That's not a direct quote, though.
It's still okay to use it, though.
So before we get into the important stuff, what do we think it's going to be? It's L. So what do you guys think?
Lollipop.
Lollipop is goofy, but I kind of want it to
be
Lollipop.
Is Lollipop trademarked? Is Lollipop a product or is that just a thing?
Yeah,
but that was a deal. Yeah.
You never know. They might have another deal.
Yeah.
Is there an L candy?
A beloved L brand of candy?
Wow, let's see. Maybe, candy that starts.
Let's ask Google.
Maybe Laffy Taffy.
Ooh, Laffy Taffy.
Someone prepared a bit.
I was filling up my water and I saw this in a bowl and I was like, letter L. And I haven't heard this one yet. So Laffy Taffy, I don't know.
Here we go. Here's a licorice. It could be licorice.
Licorice, yeah.
I love Yahoo Answers. Somebody goes, what are candy names that start with letter L? Licorice, lollipop.
It's not going to be lemon heads.
It's not going to be lemon heads. Lifesavers.
Lindor balls.
Lindt Chocolate International.
I'm surprised that we're actually going to see a new version of Android. I didn't think we were going to see that.
Yeah, like showing off. I was hoping so. But
it's really surprising to me.
History doesn't always, at least history at Google I.O. doesn't always necessarily mean that we are going to see a release of it. We saw, of course, Ice Cream Sandwich a few years ago at I.O., and that was a big deal. That was at I.O., right? I know.
I'm pretty sure we did.
Yes, we did.
I think so.
We saw it ahead of release. So this isn't unprecedented that Google would do this.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're not going to see, they're not going to release it tomorrow.
It's not a release. It's just a, hey, it exists, we're working on it, this is what we're doing kind of thing. And so
this is developer PR, and for them to announce the name, I think, so that people can start talking about it, and this is just about getting the buzz going. I think that makes sense.
In years past, they put the statue out early on the
Right.
Googleplex.
Yeah.
And obviously we would have heard about that if it was out.
Mm-hmm.
Although
mm-hmm.
if they're announcing it tomorrow, we'll probably see a statue pretty soon.
Yeah, I remember the jelly bean statue was out a couple days early.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Right.
Maybe they won't. Maybe they won't announce the name. Maybe they're still debating.
How could they preview the next version and not announce the name? The name has become so symbolic for every... They want people to get behind the next version. They got to release the name.
Yeah. I'm glad that we're focused on the important things. Like, what is it going to do? How's it going to look? It's kind of, what candy is it going to evoke?
Yes. Look, Kit Kat really changed things, all right?
And I had a Kit Kat on the way up here. I didn't even think about that.
It's working.
They dropped the Kit Kat bomb, and now we're all, on alert. Yeah. We're on alert.
Exactly. Yeah. I kind of want to eat this Laffy Taffy, but I know that's not good for podcasts.
That probably is. That's not a good call.
And I don't actually think it's gonna be Laffy Taffy.
If we have to go with names, it's probably Lollipop or Licorice. I think those are my
I'm thinking it's going to be Lollipop.
Yeah.
Okay, so, or Luft Balloons. That's not a dessert, but still fun to say.
It's a great song, though.
Okay, so we know that's going to happen. That's confirmed. Unconfirmed are the things that we're going to see in Licorice, Lollipop, Luft Balloons, whatever it happens to be. But we've seen a lot of things over the past month or two that are kind of pointing to good indication of what this is all about. And remember, and keeping in mind that this year's Google I.O. is heavily focused on design.
Right.
And everything that we're hearing about this quantum paper design overhaul, which is going essentially that along with the Polymer dev kit, is going to allow developers and Google to basically take their design approach and make it cross-platform so that the Gmail that you see online is similar in design and approach to the Gmail that you see on Android, that you see on iOS, and all of these things. So where Ice Cream Sandwich was a big design change, I think we're in store for another big one.
I think so, too.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense that's going to be part of it, for sure.
And to combine them all across all their platforms, so there's this unified thing. They've been obviously going towards that for years.
Well, yeah, and I would say they've been going towards that more recently, too. I mean, as we've seen the kind of evolution of icons and buttons and all these sort of things, I think that it's you know, they've been inching in that direction. So I don't think this is a super big surprise, at least right now, you know.
What the design things are will be a surprise.
Yes. That's going to be what all eyes are going to be on.
Yeah. Hopefully not too many changes for all of us developers that have been.
It's kind of sounding like it might be a lot of changes for developers. Mm-hmm.
It does sound
they're
like
really,
it.
I mean, if you take a look, Brian, at the Techno Buffalo article that's at the top there, it has a few images of things that have leaked, you know, both to Android Police and elsewhere. And I mean, it really, the approach that you see in all these screenshots is very different from what we've seen in KitKat. And
I want to see this Gmail update, this because it's got this done thing and upcoming. I make a to-do list, so it's like catnip to me. I'm like, what do you mean, Mark, Gmail is done? What does that mean?
Looking at these screenshots, Brian, if you take my device, you know, we've already seen kind of the beginnings of this, right? The G Plus app,
right.
when they mm-hmm. revised it, was a fresh new take on the app, one, and two might just be the beginnings of this design language that we're going to see a lot more of tomorrow. So there's that. Polymer, of course, like I said, is the dev kit for managing a lot of this stuff. We'll hear more about that. But that, I think, was even teased last year at I/O that parts of Polymer made it into the keynote. And it was one of those kind of things that everyone went, ooh, and then not many people thought about. Turns out a year later, it might actually be really important, you know. Not that it wasn't important then, but we just didn't know the depth of it. What do you guys think about 64-bit support? Do you think that's an important addition?
Seems inevitable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the transition. The art transition to 64-bit support.
Well, let's not jump to the art transition.
Sorry.
I'm still a little gun-shy to art after my experience with manually switching from Dalvik to art. And
it was early, man. It was early.
I was on the bleeding edge. I was so excited. I was like, this is the next big thing. I'm going to get in front of this.
You were on the bleeding edge, and you ended up bleeding a whole lot
all over the place. WhatsApp, Ron?
I have not. WhatsApp killed me. It totally killed me. So I got a T-shirt to Dalvik. Dalvik forever. I was pro-Dalvik. No. I would have to imagine the art transition is going to happen. I mean, I gotta think that WhatsApp has fixed that by now, and I haven't gone back because it burned me so badly. But but I think 64-bit and art are just kind of again inevitable kind of evolution,
and maybe together, right? So you're not trying to put art on these older devices,
right? No, that's a really good point.
But it's just these, you know, 4.5 or 5.0, whatever they call it. That's where they, you know, make this cut.
Right.
They're kind of building it from the ground up ish. Might as well start with 64-bit support. That's a really good point. And then we've heard a little bit about camera API changes, and this actually dates back to even last year, where there was a very brief posting to I can't remember which repository, but anyways, it kind of showed off raw burst mode and a few other things in the camera API, and then it was withdrawn, and then we haven't heard anything about it since. So people are thinking, you know, possibly we're going to see some changes to camera, and I mean, frankly, I'm surprised that burst and raw support aren't already in there. So this seems
pretty likely. And they just released that new camera app a couple months ago.
They released their own camera app right in the Play Store, which is separate from the AOSP app, right?
A big improvement.
Yeah, big improvement, right? I mean, the Android camera stuff has always been sort of a place that needed improvement.
Always.
So, I think the more that they can address it.
Yeah, and it sounds like actually they're talking about API. Which is really important, from the developers, because camera's still probably the single most problematic coding challenge.
Kind of like you're committing developer suicide if you decide to develop an app that heavily relies on camera, because you're going to just kill yourself on support.
Yep, really
as a result
hard
of it, because all the cameras operate differently. And it's a point of weakness for sure.
API improvements are welcome.
Yeah, sure. So Google can say, here's our camera, but make a better one. Here are better APIs to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense.
And then I just threw here at the end this thing that was just posted, I believe, yesterday on Android Police with a few potential screenshots of L, whatever it happens to be, running on devices. You can see the L up at the top there. And when it was it was Key Lime Pie, oh, remember those days, it was a K before it ended up actually, you know, showing a symbol and eventually turned into KitKat. So there you have that. I'm sure there's going to be more in the preview than what we're talking about. I hope so, because I want to be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not everything can get leaked, right?
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like that's the way it is, right? Yeah, you get to the announcement, you're like, oh, yeah, I knew that already. It's just now official.
Mm-hmm. Right. But the anticipation, for example, so moving into the next thing that we know is confirmed this happening is the thing that I'm the most excited about, that I would be up against the glass in the Moscone trying to get in, which is basically Android Wear kind of, you know, this is coming out party, so to speak. You know, we know it's coming. We've seen the watches. We've seen, you know, some new interesting developments around watches around that. But this is the first kind of, you know, official event that's going to embrace Android Wear, and I cannot wait to see what it's going to be.
And I really think I.O. is going to be very focused on Android Wear.
This is like, going to be the star of the show. Yep. Yeah,
no question about it. This is like what they're focused on.
My prediction is definitely that Android Wear is a star.
I want a watch. I want jackets. I want every kind of wearable you can think of.
You want an umbrella?
A propeller hat? Exactly. I want it all. No, I just can't. I mean, if you guys walk out of this thing with a watch, like if that's the giveaway, if you get a watch or
the watch,
the Moto 360, it'll be next week. There'll be blows.
Will you do a video for us?
Oh my god! I can't even tell you. I'm so excited. We did this on last week's show. We looked at that. What was that? The Cryos watch or whatever it was. What was that thing? It was a mechanical watch with a translucent screen.
With the touchscreen
running Android Wear. And it's so Kairos. Cool. And like, and it's I'll pull back. Yeah, there it is. Kairos.
Oh, see, yeah.
And see, this is what happens.
I should watch our show. Yeah,
look at all the interesting stuff they have on All About Android.
What a good show.
They're taking pre-orders on this. It's not a Kickstarter or anything like that, but if you have $500, you can order one in advance. It doesn't exist yet. They're manufacturing it. But it's a mechanical watch with the Android with a translucent screen with Android Wear on top of it, so you can see what time is it. And I was at a party this weekend, and I was showing someone. We're talking about Android Wear. I'm like, oh well, look at this watch. I showed, and I was getting all excited. I haven't even seen the thing in real life yet, and I'm already like evangelizing.
And when was the last time you wore a watch? Like.
Oh, it had to have been when the
wanted to wear a watch.
Like 07, 08. I think right around the G1 is when I did. What happens with me is that my watch band breaks and then I forget to go buy a new one and then I just stop wearing a watch and that's what happened.
Well, and our experience as gadget lovers has been changed by the fact that smartphones have kind of replaced what we used to use a watch for. Mm-hmm. You know, we've gotten very used to just, okay, there it is, which is kind of the same as just doing that. Now we got to get used to the reverse again. Apparently.
And well, the thing
I don't know if I'll get used to it.
But I'm all
even if it's neat, I don't know if I'll get used to
but
it.
But I'm all for it. I mean, you know, for the past 8 months have I been on the edge of a Pebble? Like, I almost got the first gen Pebble, and then the Pebble Steel came out. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'll get that. I'm like, no, I'm going to wait. I trust Google. I'm going to wait. And I'm hoping it comes out to be something that's awesome. I'm going to blow my mind.
Yeah.
I'm ready. I don't want to spend my life my face in my phone. I really like the idea that my watch will buzz if I get a text, you know, that I'm not going to have to pull it out or whatever. I'm ready to switch back to wearing a watch again if I really like it. Yep. I really like the video that Google released about how Android Wear is going to work, and I don't know, maybe this was obvious, but I was really happy to hear that default notifications of apps that already exist are going to show up on the phone and just work, right? So instantaneously, the entire work required. So instantaneously, you've got this huge catalog of apps that are going to send useful notifications to your watch. I'm sure you guys, like I do, I tune what notifications I get pretty heavily, right? I don't want my phone buzzing constantly. I know some people do like that, but I'll love that. I'll love if my watch just lets me know when there's something I need to see, and if I dismiss it on the watch, it goes away on the phone. That's also really nice. So because I've got push bullet set up and I get notifications everywhere, I'm just happy to be able to see it and without having to wrench my phone out of my pocket. I know that makes me sound like the laziest person on earth.
I think it makes perfect sense because when you put it that way, getting a buzz in your pocket and then having to reach in there and pull it out, especially when you've got a 6.1 inch screen in your pocket.
The Jason size.
It's not
phone.
The easiest thing in the world to do. So. Now a 6.1 inch watch.
Right. But that's going to be the question now, is that what do these watches look like and what is the form? I mean, we've already talked about how will they fit on slender arms or female arms, will it be this big old watch? But I can't wait. Curious. I mean, I'm already excited about it. Like, these videos make me feel like it's going to be magic, and either I'm going to be really disappointed or just really expectations met. I don't know.
It's funny because it sounds like you guys are really excited about this, and I'm a very Android guy. Obviously, I love all the gadgets. I'm not really excited about this at all.
And yet you're wearing a watch.
Well, I'm wearing a watch, but it's just a, it's just
a watch. You're the only one wearing a watch.
The proof is right there. Yeah. You should be excited.
I had a Pebble. I had a Wim Labs. Yep. I had a Microsoft Edge watch back in the day. So, like, yep. I'm not foreign to this concept, but...
Right.
I don't see much interesting in this. But have you been burned?
I'm a complete smartwatch virgin, yep. for lack mm-hmm. of a better. So I'm like, I'm a noob. Like, I'm ready. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to have the good experience. And part of me is like, I don't know if I've had all those other watches, if it was a pain. I don't know.
I mean, the Pebble's fine, but it just wasn't compelling enough that I want to wear it every day.
Well, and that was really my thing, was that the Pebble, to me, like the e-ink, kind of the black and white, I'm like, no, I want color, I want to see photos, I want to see this.
The problem is color means it's only going to last 36 hours without charging.
That's okay, man.
It.
How right. often, I don't go camping. You know, like I'm near a plug, like pretty much like 20 hours of the day, you know? Like,
taking your watch off. Charging your watch is going to be a little bit of a pain. I'm going to have a low tolerance for that. If it's not wireless charge, you know, what? There's, you know, things. There's a style challenge, certainly not as much of a challenge as glass, but, like, there is a style challenge, right? I'm only going to wear it if it looks good. Like,
sure.
Yeah. But I'm more likely to wear this than glass, you know, out and about.
Are we ready for this? I can't believe it just happened. We have breaking news. We had this all worked out in back channel chat.
It was a softball, Brian. All you had to do was press the button.
Oh, I had the article up. I didn't have the breaking news ready.
Literally in our chat room, it says breaking, and Brian says, got it.
That's okay. I'm not going to edit that out because I want you to learn, Brian. Okay?
It's the only way he's going to learn.
It's the only way he's going to learn.
But breaking news.
Okay. So here...
It's not when you say breaking news.
Oh, Brian, whatever. LG Watch, $255, launches July 7th.
Pre-order now?
So there you go. $255 for everything we've seen of the Guatch. What do you think? Too high, too low, just right?
Ooh, too high.
A little high.
By $50.
A little high, about $50. Yeah.
I'm gonna say just right, but I don't want the Guatch. I want the Moto 360.
That's gonna be more fun. I was gonna say, I think I was expecting the 360 to be around 250? This 250 yeah. point, and the Guatch to be a little bit lower than it.
Well, how much is a Pebble Steel?
250, I think.
Is it 250? It's better. Of... It's more value than a Pebble Steel, so.
It's plastic.
Yeah.
The LG G Watch is plastic.
Yeah. But it's color true. And it's all that sort of stuff. Yeah, but.
So does this mean we're not going to get one tomorrow?
Well,
I guess we don't have to
That's the Guatch. Yeah.
Considering this, I have a good feeling, and there are reports. So we're in unconfirmed territory now, magically, that LG. Motorola are going to be showing off their Android Wear watches. I'd be really surprised if we didn't see models of those at some point to be able to take a look. So we'll be able to see how chunky and thick they are. Possibly leave with one of those because everybody seems to think with the emphasis on Android Wear right now that is hands down. It would be hard to believe that wouldn't be one of the handouts.
Yeah, and they want to get these watches in developers' hands.
Oh, yeah. Right? That's what developers charge up. That's what this is all about. That's what IO is all about. Not only that, even Samsung is expected to preview an Android Wear version of their own smartwatch.
Well, they've already got
the
hardware.
Interesting.
Makes sense.
They have the experience of the hardware. They have the experience of a locked-in Galaxy experience.
That's true. Well, it's like, hey, I should have a little over here. Like Samsung's playing both sides from the middle. I know you want Tizen. Here you go.
Kevin Toefel of GigaOm. He's been a guest on this show multiple times. He was on yesterday's Tech News Today, and he put it perfectly. He's like, you know, Samsung just likes to play the field.
Yeah.
And they go into every one of these corners and they try it and see what works and what doesn't. So. I don't know. It'd be kind of interesting to see Samsung kind of be okay with the Android Wear approach and not go with their own Tizen, Samsung E.
More the merrier. I see tomorrow as the kickoff of the smartwatch wars. We know that Apple's working on it. I don't know if it's been confirmed. Actually, a friend of mine's friend took a job at Apple, but he couldn't talk about what he was working on. I'm like, it's the watch, isn't it? But he wouldn't break. So, but
like, he didn't even break his fingers. You're from Long Island. I pulled back
a little. But it's going to be. It's they're coming out with one, and now with Google being first in market, I just can't wait. It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. The Pebble Steel is $229 at Best Buy, by the way.
Oh, so I was hoping they were going to Chromecast us on that on the watch. I was hoping it was going to be
did
like...
Did you just use Chromecast
as a verb? I did. I just used Chromecast as a verb. I was hoping it was going to be like a $99, like shockingly low, like impulse buy type of thing. Because I feel like $99...
For the watch?
For the, yeah, for, oh, wow. for the watch.
Like
I don't
the Pebbles,
know. Maybe,
the Pebble's $125 for the plastic one. That's kind of... Throwaway money.
That's about
not
right.
Completely, but
right.
Yeah,
you don't have to think too hard about it.
Yeah, you don't have to think too hard about it.
$300 for the Moto 360. I'll give you money right now for it if you get it tomorrow. I'll give you $300 right now.
But that, I mean, that's how much most people spend on their phone.
I don't know how to answer.
No, but I'm just saying.
I might want it, Ron.
I'm just saying that's the price. I mean, if you give me a nice, durable, with the color screen, it's a circular display. Like, that's amazing. If you do all that stuff, I feel like $300 is my ceiling.
Who knows? Maybe Motorola's the $99 watch.
Yeah.
They have low-price, high-performance devices.
Let's remember, this is what most people spend on their phones, right? With a contract, right?
Completely.
And this is an accessory. This is a compliment to your phone. Like, this is not a thing. So that's why I was kind
of
hoping
the potential
that.
Of making your life better is
I
so
know, it
enormous.
Buzzes your wrist. I know. See, now I'm just doing 360 on.
I saw, what did I see? I saw the one of the keyboards that I reviewed came out with, they ported their keyboard to Android.
Minium,
yeah, with an Android Wear keyboard. I'm like, oh, that's all, it's happening. It's all happening.
It didn't look half
it didn't
bad
look,
on the watch.
Yeah, no, it didn't
gotta
look,
say.
Yeah.
So. I thought I didn't like how it was on glass.
Yeah.
I liked what I saw on the watch.
Yeah.
There you go. So other things. Let's see here.
There's other things? No.
We're like maybe halfway through
Sorry.
This thing. Unconfirmed Google Play Fitness. We've heard about kind of more of an expansion of this and with the efforts in wearables and the tie-in between wearables and fitness apps and, you know, the craze around it. I wouldn't be surprised at all to hear something about this as well. I don't know how that ties in necessarily with the Guatch.
Well, because it's going to work with the Guatch.
Right.
We talked about this a little last week.
This gets developers porting their apps to Android Wear, right? Because the Google Play Fitness provides all the APIs. If your app counts steps or does heart rate stuff or any sort of health stuff, right, that's what you're going to do. I'm sure that iOS developers are getting courted by Apple right now under NDA about, you know, whatever, hooking their stuff into whatever Apple's fitness API is as well. But yeah, no, this is totally just about, like, getting developers started on these apps.
You get me a Moto 360 with Runtastic on there, and I will wear that watch when I go running, and I'll use it to listen to my podcasts, and it's a step further to this whole kind of
how do you listen
to your podcast with
my phone. My phone would be in my pocket, so.
And you control
and
it.
And
like
I control it with the watch. And Runtastic, I can see the whole thing, and I can do totally. I'm on board.
Mm-hmm. That's probably available out of the box tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think the use case you just described is going to be available out of the box.
Yeah.
That experience.
I can't wait.
Looking forward to that. Yeah. Android TV. Though, interestingly, like there's such an emphasis on Wear and there are a lot of sessions to back it up. So you know that's going to be a big deal. Android TV, there are no really like
living room sessions.
It could be, you know what, I.O. this definitely happens where they do the keynote and then suddenly you get out and voila, there are, you know, four or five new sessions that just opened up.
Yeah. That'll definitely happen, yeah.
Are there spots on the calendar that are reserved for opening up later? And if not, is that how it was done in the past? That's what I'm trying to remember.
You don't remember.
If in the past it was to be announced.
Yeah,
there was just wasn't there.
They're just named very generic things.
And then
suddenly
they...
Like the future of your TV.
Yeah, and in the past they changed things too. So they may have said whatever, you know, intro to XYZ and... they change it the last minute to...
And then they pull the green carpet from
Listen, exactly.
You cannot relax at I.O. Anything can change
Anything
at any moment. It just
is.
Seriously, you know.
It's the most exciting
really
conference
is.
That you haven't gone to in a couple of years. I'm really sorry, Ron. I'm really sorry. We'll get you there one of these days.
So I watched our... I reviewed our... Alabama Android from last year, where we gave our predictions. I only have one show to review for myself. You know, it's, that's the last one I was on.
Okay,
so.
All right.
But both
you
me
only
and Ron,
watch it when you're on.
Oh no, I watch it every week. I saw it last week.
Okay. Anyway, so what were you saying?
Anyway, we were talking last year about what we wanted to see out of I/O last year, and it was Android at home. I mean, I really want to see this TV box.
Yep.
I wanted to see it last year. I wanted to see it 2 years ago. It doesn't mean we'll see it this year, but I really want to see something that's Android at home, new UI. And the other thing I really want to see is a remote control.
Interesting.
For the device.
For TV. For the Android TV or whatever.
That's not your phone? Or your watch?
It's not my phone, yes. Specifically.
Or your watch? Interesting. You think they do that?
Well, I mean, I hope that the device has it.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be the weak point of all. I've had a lot of Google TV devices, and the remotes are always terrible. And I think people, I can't speak for people. I can speak for myself. I really want a remote for my TV.
Yeah.
I don't want to use my telephone for that.
Interesting.
See, I've gotten really used to using my phone to control my Chromecast, though. And the more I do that, the more intuitive it is for me, and the more I want more of it. But, yeah, I see what you're saying, though. At least with the Chromecast, at the same time, it's spread out into multiple apps, so I still have to remember to launch the app and go into it and then hit the button and everything. But at the same time, on the other side, Android TV, from what we know, kind of taps into the ability for Android to look into apps, find content, and then surface it. So, you know, maybe that makes it easier to control it from your phone and not a frustrating experience.
Yeah, too. I don't have to go into all the menus, and because that can be challenging when the remote doesn't respond.
Well, you got to imagine that you know, last time at I.O., Chromecast didn't exist. And now we're in a world that has Chromecast existing, which, by the way, I was talking about this on the drive up. This past weekend was my Chromecast renaissance. I am fully on board.
I
see the light now. It just took this many months, but I'm loved it. You can thank the World Cup for it. once the Watch ESPN app kicked in and it was like super HD. Oh God, it was beautiful. And I figured out how to hook it up to my stereo, so the audio is coming out of the good stereo, so it's all good. But so you really gotta wonder, whatever they're doing with Android TV, they've got to apply some learning from what they've gotten from Chromecast. Is it going to be a hybrid device?
I think you're going to be able to cast to the Android
TV. Yeah, and if you can't cast to it, then they have failed because that's a huge missed opportunity, and they can capitalize on what they've done with Chromecast to offer something that, you know, enables more, like gaming, or, you know, just a more powerful
gaming's
kind of
obviously
user.
Interface thing that everybody wants, I want as well. Again, not speaking for everybody.
You are everybody. You are the everybody.
I don't think Android TV is going to happen, you guys.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
You've been against it.
So doing a simple find and page on the schedule, there's four sessions that mention Cast. There's several things about enabling Cast in your application using the Cast.
Yeah.
And okay, fine. If you do a search for Android, there are 50 mentions of the word Android. And of course, there's the what's new with Android, which is probably the session that's going to describe, you know, what the new Lollipop, basically, version L. I don't see anything here that looks like it is going to be Android TV.
I don't know if this is stepping ahead in the rundown, but the Nest stuff.
I was just going there as well.
You're talking. Yeah. Nest Dropcam.
And the fact that Nest buys Dropcam last week. And then, I don't know if you guys saw, but there was like an explosion of articles about Nest today. Like, there was a piece in the New York Times. There's a whole bunch of other stuff. I feel like we're being primed for some interesting Nest integration.
There is a Nest API talk on the schedule. So, and of course, again, stepping into the ahead in the rundown, they announced their developer group today.
Right.
Nest developer organization. So, I mean, clearly that's...
I think Nest is going to play a big part of that, kind of, whether it's Google at home or Android.
Yeah, but
it
seems like it would be pretty quick integration.
Yes.
They only bought Nest a couple months ago.
No, they bought Nest a while ago, didn't they? Like a year ago, didn't they? Or a while ago?
No.
So have I lost any sort of...
Nest appears on the schedule as much as it was January.
Was it January?
It was right after the holidays, because remember, before the holidays, we were doing our 2014 predictions, and I said, I think Google's going to buy
Nest.
That's
right, you did.
And then like a week later, I was right.
You got that one.
So I did. Yeah. That was like the best home run I've hit all year, by the way. Like, seriously, like
that was February 12th.
February 12th.
CNET.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, no, January 13th, 2014. Mm-hmm. Look out, Apple, Google just bought Nest for $3.2 billion. Yeah, yeah. Cool. So in around there, January.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's possible it could be kind of lumped into that category. But finally, we'll hear more probably about Android at home, at least to some capacity. Maybe we won't, but it's probably possible after all this Nest stuff and now Dropcam. So, cool stuff there. Android in the car is another thing that we've heard off and on about, seeing a lot of kind of leaked screenshots. Of course, the Open Automotive Alliance from January has people thinking that we're going to hear something about it. But is it I.O.? I don't know. Again, it's hard to know whether there've been enough breadcrumbs to lead to it happening at I.O.
Yeah.
But I would love to see it. I hope actually that would be a great thing to be part of. Of L, more of an emphasis on, you know, having a separate mode for the car, because it's really important.
Yeah. It seems like what L is, or actually the direction of Android, is they want to be on every screen that you have.
Yeah,
so, definitely. Yeah.
With Wear and with Auto, and of course, you know, I think that's what this next iteration of Android is getting Android out everywhere. No longer it's just a phone or tablets. It's
any screen or
any screen that you have. Yeah. Well, yeah. Not any screen, every screen actually.
Oh, look at. Wow, are you sure you don't speak for Google?
I don't.
You got to get that marketing line right down, man. Jeez.
I mean, for instance, they were talking about Nest. They were talking about putting Google Now on Nest. Today was one of their, like.
Yeah. Oh, so Google Now on Nest would be so cool.
Yep. Get into your house and, you know, it knows your home and does things
for you. The future,
it's
all happening. So excited.
It's all happening.
Okay, we got to move this ship along, although I guess we don't really have a hard out today, so we could go all night.
We're going and doing 6-hour show. Let's do it. We're going to go through every app we've ever installed.
That's right. Starting
Buckle
with episode,
in, folks.
Starting with our beta episodes.
We've got the bandwidth. Let's do it. Come on.
We'll take over the studio.
I don't think I can survive.
I know, I'm sorry.
I don't think I can survive. So let's talk about some things that are probably pretty unlikely. Android Silver, we've heard a lot about that. This is the saying goodbye to the Nexus program, saying hello to more of an expanded kind of marketing effort on Google's part to make people understand why vanilla Android is good, and that there are a lot of great hardware to back it up. Probably more likely to happen towards the end of the year or the beginning of next year from what we're hearing, and still might actually be a Nexus device or two that happens in between now and then anyway. So... But who knows? Maybe we'll hear something about it. But I think hearing something about it is going to kind of shoot themselves in the foot in some ways, and especially at a developer conference where people love the Nexus devices.
Yeah.
If that signals the end of Nexus, people probably wouldn't be too happy to hear it.
Yeah.
That was my thought, is know your audience. It's a developer's conference. So this seems to be more consumer facing, more kind of consumer marketing. I expect to hear this in September. You know, or August. Yep. You know, so.
And I don't think it's going to be called Android Silver. I'm increasingly convinced that Android is a developer brand, not a consumer brand. And this is a consumer program. So I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Google Silver?
I mean, you look at Nexus and Google Play Edition, right? Like, Google's creating the Google Experience phone. That's how they're going to differentiate themselves against the Fire phone and the Samsung phones, right? It's the Google Experience phone. It's the real Google phone, which is different. I don't know, maybe not different. Pure Google is different than the Samsung phone with all the Google stuff, but also all the Samsung stuff. So, I don't know. Just a thought.
You can't beat that pure Google.
Pure Google.
Pure Google.
I like my Google Pure.
Speaking of Nexus, we started hearing some and seeing some photos, actually, of the HTC Volantis. No, we don't know if that's going to be the official name. It's a 9-inch Nexus tablet, potentially the last Nexus tablet made by HTC, of course, before Android Silver. Probably not going to hear about this, but... you know, the screens and things that we're kind of hearing about, it sounds like it's possibly likely that HTC might get its Nexus before the end of Nexus.
Yeah.
Sneaking in, right at the buzzer. Right.
You've asked for years. Yeah. Here it is. There you go. Nexus is gone.
Oh, and we're shutting it down.
The one real interesting thing about that device is it's a 4:3 screen ratio, which is unique for Android, and the same as iPad mini. So that's a really interesting, unique... obviously, Android has all different shapes and sizes, but... For a Nexus device that has that different screen ratio, that's a big departure.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Details on consumer version of Glass, probably not going to happen. And probably even more likely not to happen, considering that there was information released today, actually, of revised hardware for Glass. Original Glass Dronauts are not going to get an automatic upgrade like they did with the previous version. So... I would imagine that means it's kind of end of the line for us. We have what we have, and
if you want another one, you pay up
again. But it also probably means that we aren't close to a consumer release on Glass, and for them to release this the day before I/O probably means we're not going to hear a whole lot about the next version of Glass. But who knows?
Yeah, I mean, this is Google's way of being like, but you didn't talk about Glass. It's like, oh, yeah, we Glass news this week. This was the new, you know, right?
They're slipping
like,
little things
in
here.
Yeah, get that
and
out of the way. We're not going to mention it during the keynote, but that doesn't mean it's dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense.
Exactly. Probably a de-emphasis on Google Plus And that by that we mean, you know, Google Plus has gone through a lot of changes on the, in the kind of executive areas of Google Plus. And also I think Google's starting to realize from what we're hearing that people don't like all their services bundled into a social service that they either do or do not want to use. So what Google might do more of is kind of unifying the instead of unifying it around the social network, just unifying it around your Google account, and you know, less emphasis on Google Plus as a result.
Yeah,
I don't know what that means for the service though, because I really like the service and I don't want you to go away, Google Plus, please. Mm-hmm.
The social, you're saying you really like the social network.
I like the social network.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, right. It's going to be all about Google Plus as the, as a platform, right? So, yeah. Like, add Google Sign In to all your apps, right? That's Google Plus for Google, and that's what they're going to be telling developers. And actually, that's a great experience for developers to add in their apps because you don't have to enter another password. And so again, there's going to be like, oh, you didn't mention Google Plus. Is it dying? It's like, yeah, we talked about it the entire conference. All of this is Google Plus.
All of it, yeah, right.
Right, but not the social network. Which I'm okay with.
Yep. And finally, I'm hopeful anyways, that we'll actually get to see in person Project Tango, Project Aura, which is the modular.
It'll be so cool.
And I really hope they have a booth with Aura that we can kind of go in there and kind of put them together, you know, however it goes, have a little kit to play with.
I have to pull off a heist to get that up here.
No problem.
So cool.
That's easy. Who knows? Maybe everybody gets an Aura. Would that just blow your mind?
Oh, I'd be so upset. Oh, now you're just trying to hurt me.
Driverless car, something else that we're probably all going to get one of.
Just be one under a seat, like the Jetsons.
Just a row of them along 4th Street.
You unfold them like the Jetsons wall, like the car. Like they're just under your seat. Like everybody gets a free browser and a driverless car.
I just want to know if I fit in that thing. I fit in that thing?
I'm going to guess you don't.
I probably do, but not...
Not comfortably.
Amazingly comfortable.
You remember that episode of Simpsons with the very tall man in the...
Do you think there's something funny at the sight of me driving around in my automobile or something like that?
Yeah.
Yes, I've seen that.
I'm sorry.
As evidenced by my horrible rendition. And finally, Boston Dynamics robot. Hit the video, Brian. Sorry.
Wow. 0-2, Brian.
That's right. You know what? I blame me because I didn't put the little red video thing there.
No, I take the blame, Jason. It's fine.
Listen, the TD's got to take responsibility. All right.
Hopefully we see this guy. Pet Man. Oh, yeah.
That's just creepy.
It is kind of creepy. I just want to see a robot. I don't actually think that's going to happen. But
I like that.
Wouldn't it be great?
I like that it's a robot that looks like in hazmat gear. Like it looks like post-apocalyptic robot, right? It's like, yeah.
Yeah, change the music, and that would be super scary.
They could make it a little more friendly looking.
They always have some sort of demo on the floor.
They have robots roaming
I mean,
they've been like little nerdy robots, like with a tablet and a big wheel. Yeah. But now they own Boston Dynamics, right? Yeah. So put Big Dog out in the middle and scare the crap out of everybody.
Wasn't there that giant game with the rolling ball that you can control with Android, right?
Yep.
Like some sort of giant display thing.
Oh,
maybe this will be this guy.
I would love to see some Boston Dynamics robotics.
I just totally noticed the dude behind him controlling it. Anyway.
Anyways, there you go. So any final thoughts other than I can't wait?
It's exciting. Who knows? I can't wait to see what we don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we didn't see Glass coming that year.
Exactly.
You know, like, we didn't
see Chromecast coming.
We didn't see, Chromecast wasn't there last time.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the Q.
Oh, the Q, we didn't see the Q.
Right. I shouldn't have brought that up.
Chromecast was not introduced at IO last year?
Nope. Mm. It was last fall.
I see.
So I'm more curious about what we don't know is coming. What is the surprise? What is the one more thing, you know, that they'll roll out? So I'm excited. I'll be watching from my office as I'm working.
Final thoughts. That's it. Ready to move on to other things?
All right.
I.O. Of course, next week we're going to be talking all about it, and we will be probably the last Android show to talk about I.O. because it happens tomorrow, as usually big news in the Android space seems to happen the day after our show. But we will have a week to think about it and really think
digest.
Of the impact of it.
We'll deep analysis.
Late developments.
Yes.
We promise it'll be good. All right, before we move on, let's thank our sponsor, first sponsor of today's episode, and actually a new sponsor of All About Android. It is SmartThings. Now, SmartThings makes it easy to protect and control your home with your smartphone. I've actually got a bunch of their devices here. They have a number of different packages and
and things. Well, maybe I don't have a camera for it, but we'll work on that. You can adjust the lights or temperature. You can keep track of whether your kids come home from school on time, even check to see if you remember to close the garage door. You can do it from anywhere using your iOS or Android device. You start with one of the three smart home security kits. Each kit contains one SmartThings hub and enough sensors, switches, and outlets to turn your home into a smart home in as little as 15 minutes. You just plug the SmartThings hub into your router and add sensors, switches, outlets by following the instructions from the free and easy-to-use SmartThings app. In addition to SmartThings' own sensors, you can add hundreds of other home automation devices from a variety of manufacturers like GE, Schlage, Honeywell, Eon, as well as the latest connected devices like the Nest Thermostat, Philips Hue, Wemo, Sonos, and much more. SmartThings offers three home security kits, which they call Smart, Smarter, and Smartest, as you can see here. The Smart Home Security Kit is $329. Here's the hub right here as well. It includes one SmartThings hub, one SmartSense motion sensor, one SmartSense presence sensor, and three SmartSense multi-sensors, which are multi-purpose sensors for doors, windows, and drawers that sense when things open and close, and you can measure temperature, acceleration, vibration. The Smarter Home Security Kit is $479, and it adds an additional motion sensor, a smart power outlet, and a siren strobe alarm. These are some smart homes here. Smartest Home Security Kit is $599. It includes all of the above, plus another presence sensor, power outlet, and an outdoor light plug and control power outlet. And each of these kits offer an affordable way to secure and automate your home without any of the contracts, monitoring fees, or hidden charges associated with traditional home security companies. And Gina, you have a little bit of experience with SmartThings, is that right?
I do. I just looked it up. So I backed SmartThings on Kickstarter back in, man, it was 2012. No, September 2012. So I've got this whole kit at home, and I love it. I used it to, I had it hooked up to my daughter's stroller, so I got a push notification when the stroller went in and out, which is kind of fun. When I was, like, traveling on business, I knew where she was at.
Oh, that's awesome.
And this piece I had hooked up to my mailbox, so, like, when the mail got delivered, I got a push notification that, like, because that tells you whether or not something's open or closed.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. I really, really enjoyed it, I was so excited when I saw they were a sponsor. I was like, I know these guys. They're, like, a friend of a friend. Great product. I really loved it. It was my first and only kind of smart home setup. So that's a magnet.
So you put that
on like your mailbox door. So when the mailbox gets opened,
the door opens.
Yeah, you get a push notification or whatever you want.
Cool.
And they've got hookups to IFTTT and that kind of thing.
Hypothetically, I could hook this up to my refrigerator.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then my trainer could get a push notification
exactly.
And then be like, Yo, dude, what are you eating?
Yeah,
you
aren't allowed to eat ever.
Right. I don't have a trainer. but hypothetically,
if you had a trainer that was tracking.
If I had a trainer,
the times that you opened your refrigerator. Bad trainer.
Or good.
Or you could do like the motion detector on your safe, or like if you've got like a gun box or something, if you want to know that something's moved. Oh,
right.
No.
So you don't want to know that someone's not getting
nobody
getting
messes with the gun box without me knowing about it. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I love SmartThings.
Awesome.
Great product.
Yeah. Cool stuff. Well,
it's really cool.
Yeah.
I dig it.
Yeah, and it's well-designed, too. To get started creating your smart home, visit smartthings.com/twit, and you can save 10% off the purchase of any home security kit by entering the code TWIT10 at checkout. You also get free shipping within the U.S. That's smartthings.com/twit, and remember to use the code TWIT10 at checkout. And we thank SmartThings for their support of All About Android. It's good to have you on board. All right, so what else
so
do we
cool.
have?
I'm sorry, I'm just all about this. I like it when
smart
you see
things
like,
read is over, Ron.
Well, no,
but
when you see
I understand
these, we talked about this last week. When you see
away.
These Kickstarters actually happen
yeah.
and it's real
oh,
and
awesome?
It's cool. Like this
right.
is, I'll alert you if your dog or cat unexpectedly leave your home. That's great. That's genius. See how many times we lost our dog growing up?
Yeah.
Had this thing on, you'd find him. Or at least know that he left.
So. Kind of smart.
Yeah,
you
it's smart. It's a smart thing.
All right, speaking of awesome hardware, let's get into hardware.
So it was a big, big day last week for our friends up in Seattle, right?
You know, I was on vacation.
You were on vacation.
But I still, for some reason, tuned into this.
Shocked to hear that you tuned into this.
Actually, you know, after a while of being on vacation, I the...
distraction of work was kind of a nice reprieve in a strange way.
That's a sign of a good vacation.
Sometimes you want to step away, and then you step back in, and you're like, oh, yeah, see,
this is why I want to step away.
You can't be in the news business and then just not check the news. It's a compulsion.
Well, the challenge with what we do, particularly with shows like this, is if you step away for a week and you miss so much, coming back is really, really hard.
Yeah.
So I did pay attention to this, of course. This is Amazon's special event to show off the Fire Phone, which I feel like we knew so much about going into the event. But now we have specs, we have release date and all that. It's 4.7-inch, 1280 by 720 display. It has a 2.2 gigahertz quad-core Snapdragon 800 processor, very similar to what's in the Nexus 5, actually. 2 gigs of RAM. 32 and 64 gig storage versions, 13 megapixel rear-facing camera, 2.1 megapixel front-facing camera, 2400 milliamp hour battery. And then this is where it kind of gets a little differentiated here. Front and back glass casing with rubberized sides. You happen to have the Nexus 4, which is one of few phones that
retro.
I know of that has the same front and back glass thing.
Not with rubber sides, though.
No, but you could get a bumper, I suppose.
I could.
So there's that. It has its much touted dynamic perspective technology, which uses four cameras on the front. Yeah, good video to show it off. To basically determine where your head and eyes are. So when you move around your phone or when you move the phone around you, it actually changes the perspective. So it's not true 3D.
Yeah.
But it's simulated 3D, essentially. It's looking around objects based on where your head is located. So definitely sounds interesting. Firefly image recognition, and there's even a dedicated button on the side. What is Firefly image recognition? It's the ability to, even on a screen off state, so you just pull the phone out of your pocket and you're at the store and you want to see how much this milk is on Amazon, if Amazon sells milk, I don't know. But you take a picture of the item and it immediately queries and sends that photo off, and
They love Amazon loves that. Oh, yeah. I know many, many small and business people who don't like
who don't.
That. Yeah, as people walk into their stores and basically are just zapping pictures and looking it up on Amazon and buying it online and walking out of the store. So, yeah, very controversial.
Showrooming.
Very. Yeah. Operating Fire OS, which is, of course, Amazon's forked version of Android. It does have May Day customer support. So that's cool. Within 10 seconds, if you have a question about anything, which I do mean anything, they released some of their questions, an article about it a couple of weeks ago on what kinds of questions they get. And it's all across the board. It's not necessarily limited to customer service. So it's how do I beat this level of Angry Birds? It's everything. But if that's your thing, you need someone to talk to, you got Mayday. It releases July 2014, $650 off contract or $200 for 32 gig version, $300 for 64 gig version, with an exclusive contract through AT&T. What else? Amazon's also throwing in a year of free Prime, so that sweetens the deal a little bit. And actually, when you consider that, that's an extra,
$130
back.
Yeah.
With the Prime service, if you consider the cost of Prime normally. And then free unlimited photo storage via Amazon Cloud Drive. What do you think?
This was the most underwhelming announcement because I felt like, because I was watching on The Verge. I was there, they were doing their live stream and they roll something out. I'm like, oh yeah, I knew about that. Oh yeah, I knew about that.
Yeah, I
know. Oh yeah, I knew about that. Firefly was different. I mean, I feel like that was unique, but then I was like, oh, that's kind of creepy. It is what it is. I mean, it's what we thought it would be. There was no real big curveballs, at least for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll get a lot of dedicated Amazon users who buy it.
Exclusivity on AT&T, is that going to make the world a better place for Amazon? Not going
to
matter.
Probably not going to matter to the customer base. I thought this was a solid announcement, if not mind-blowing. I mean, I like to see that Amazon's competing places where Google isn't. Mayday isn't something that Google's ever going to do, right?
Nope.
I like the idea, for Android as a platform, that Fire OS is now a legitimate, I'm not troubled by the fact that it's a fork, right? This is what Android's a platform. This is supposed to happen. So I like to see that Amazon's sort of making their layer. Maybe Samsung's going to do this as well. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. The dynamic perspective thing, and this is where being a technologist totally gets in my way, because I'm like, they built in four cameras and all that code just for that little effect?
Yep.
Really? But whatever, that's me not being empathetic.
I think maybe they needed to differentiate.
They needed to do something.
Somehow.
Yeah, right. I agree. So, yep.
Right.
Yeah, but what's weird about that is using using just the gyroscopes in your phone, you can do something similar. And I realize this is similar but different. Some of the reviews of people who actually saw it said, yes, it's definitely different than just using the gyroscope. But I can't imagine it's that much different. So, yes, like that. See?
You see, that's almost exactly it. Yeah. It's like, see, it's like we have the phone right here.
Yeah, it's 3D. good work, Brian.
See, there you go.
See, we'll keep you.
You got one back. You still got two. Yeah, so you're only down one now, Brian.
I'm keeping a scoreboard over here.
Oh, I am. I am in my head.
I know you're keeping notes, and that's why we like you. Somebody just said it's just parallax. Damn it, says Bleak in the chat room. And that's true. Yeah, it's parallax. Like I showed off a parallax wallpaper app for Android months ago, and that got old. I mean, that was cool for a couple of weeks, and then I was like, okay, I don't need this
anymore. Jason, there are four cameras that do it.
No.
That's the thing.
I mean, but what's interesting, though, for developers, like Amazon released an API, like for you can build this into your app, right? So now suddenly developers are maybe perhaps in a position where they're building their app hooked into the Google APIs. They're building their app hooked into the Amazon APIs and that. And so you're sort of like, you're making a decision between those that service layer, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a new thing, and that's an interesting thing, and it could lead to fragmentation. Are Amazon App Store sales, you know, worth? I don't know. If you're a game maker, that's probably really exciting. That effect.
It's interesting. Yeah. You got to be sold though if you're a game maker and you're building your game
just
around
that
functionality. You got to be sold on the fact that there's going to be some return on it, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be enough users of the Amazon phone to justify you spending that time.
Right, it's that chicken and egg problem, right? Like, developers going to follow users, the user going to follow the apps, you know, whatever. So Amazon's going to make it compelling.
Or if you're a developer and you do develop for this, and then this ends up becoming the next big thing, and then suddenly Google is developing this kind of thing into their own version of Android, and you were the first person in, then you capitalized on a big opportunity, and you're happy that you did. I don't see that out of this, though.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Well, and then there's the skeptics' point of view, which there's an article up by Mike Elgin on Computer World about why you should not buy the Amazon Fire Phone. And I think it sums up in his conclusion on the second page, which I'm just going to read word for word, which is Amazon is capable of storing, analyzing, and recognizing all this data and combining it with your personal information collected from your Amazon browsing and shopping over the years. What you read, what you buy, where you live, where you watch, what you listen to, who you send gifts to, and their addresses as well. Because the Fire Phone and Amazon are capable of the most comprehensive and aggressive of personal data harvesting ever offered in a product, Amazon needs to be far more transparent and detailed about what the phone actually does, what it will do in the future, and how Amazon uses and protects this data now and in the future.
Yeah.
And so until they do that, my strong recommendation is do not buy the Amazon Fire Phone.
Yeah.
It's the Firefly listening and the pictures and all this
What's
stuff.
It doing with all that information?
But just swap Google in for Amazon on every single one of those sentences. Right. I mean, you know.
But of course, Google is so much more transparent about what they're doing with the data. And Amazon's not. So that, I think that's the big difference.
Right. Yep. Right.
Right, but Google's been beaten for years about privacy, you know, around privacy issues too as well.
There's no question Google's still using that data.
Right.
Like, there's no. But
sure.
Maybe they're a little more transparent. We hopefully know how. Although I don't think we totally know. Obviously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, dun, dun.
Of course, Mike Elgin, you can find him on Tech News Today every morning.
Exactly.
On another show that I produce on the Twit Network.
There I know that guy.
But it was a great article and very good points, especially about kind of the privacy aspect of Amazon Fire Phone. Is the general consumer going to care much about that? I don't know if they're really going to consider
it. I mean, I go back to saying that if you're dialed into the Amazon ecosystem, like a lot of Amazon Prime and the millions of people, the people who are buying the Fire, you know, HDX and all this sort of stuff, then you probably don't give it another thought. Similar to how I don't give it another thought when I get the latest Nexus phone because I'm dialed into the Google infrastructure, you know?
Yep.
So, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'll be curious to see what the sales numbers look like on it. So.
I don't think that Amazon cares too much about the sales numbers of this device. I think this is their first device, and they weren't – I think if they made it $99 or something, then it would have indicated they were trying to be a bigger push. But I think this is just their first device of many. So this is them establishing their, you know, beachhead. I don't
– Do you think their next device has this this parallax?
Yeah, no, I don't know about that, but I don't think they're, you know, looking to make a huge
Or do they come out with a $99 no parallel? Well, $200 isn't that too bad with the AT&T?
Well,
but,
it's $650. Yeah. It's the price of a normal flagship without a contract. So
if they were looking to make a huge, I think you're right. If they were looking to make a huge impact with this, they would have sold it
themselves without a carrier exclusivity to AT&T and US only, you know, and they would have done it through their site with some they already have kind of the prime, part to sweeten the deal. But they would have made that a little bit more intense and, maybe sold it at a deep discount just to get people using it and make an impact right out of the gate. I think you're totally
right. That's interesting. It's very interesting. Well, if you're looking for an alternative, boy, have we got one for you. In the department of I can't believe this is happening, and also the tennis game of rumors and reports and things like that, Microsoft unveiled its first Android handset, the Nokia X2. So if you never thought you'd ever see a Microsoft Android handset, well, there it is. So we heard this so many. We heard it's happening. It's not happening. Like, how many times did we report back and forth on this? It's ridiculous.
It was going to happen when Nokia was Nokia, but now Nokia is with Microsoft. So it's not going to happen, but maybe it will.
Now it's happening. So if you want a Microsoft Android phone, you can get the Nokia X2. It's got a 4.3-inch display, 1.2 gigahertz Snapdragon 200, 1 gig of RAM, 16 gig of storage, 5 megapixel rear facing camera, dual SIMs. Which is an interesting, considering Nokia. Yeah. It's running the Nokia X software platform 2.0, which is the Nokia's own fork of Android. And the default browser, it's a little browser called Opera.
Yeah.
So there you go. There it is.
Day in the sun.
Opera's still kicking around. So.
And, of course, it doesn't use any of the Google API, so they have all the Nokia maps and all those things. So
it's a way for Android users to experience what it's like to be a Windows phone user, kind of. Right?
What I like. What I like about the product shot is that we've got a. If you look at the. Brian, I don't know if you can pull that up or if you already closed it. But you've got the camera, and then you've got the back of the phones, and then the. They decided to show you the Cloud Drive login screen. Yeah. Which is nice. It's like, oh, yeah, remember this thing? Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Or no, sorry, OneDrive. Yeah, that's.
OneDrive.
Yeah. So there you go. That's a good choice for the product shot. Don't show me the home screen. Or anything.
There you go. There's your home screen.
There it is, yeah.
Yes. I mean, this is firmly in the low to mid range. And I mean, at dual core 1.2 gigahertz Snapdragon 200, I'd probably say more low than anything. But there you go. And it's also, it's probably not necessarily aimed at, places like the U.S. as much as it is kind of... Maybe developing countries or lower income areas. So.
And of course, Nokia is real big in developing countries. Like they still actually are a dominant player there. So
does Nokia X have an app store? Where are users getting apps on this thing?
It is an Amazon app store. Right now, I got an email that they're basically paying bounties for developers to port their apps.
Bounties.
So if you have, if you have five apps you can port, they'll give you a free X2.
Is that the bounty they're paying?
Yeah, that's the bounty.
Don't you think they should pay a little more than that?
I want, like, lifetime Prime. Yeah. Come on.
Or I don't know, money?
Well, like I suppose you could sell the X2.
Well, then. All right.
Of course, you have to convert all your Google APIs over to Nokia APIs.
Right.
Which is simple, right? That's easy.
Depends.
No, just...
Yeah,
I don't know what they supply. Do they supply cloud messaging infrastructure? Obviously, they supply maps, but, there's a lot of... Mm-hmm. Things we rely on Google for.
Sure.
Yeah, it's true.
Very true.
All right.
And then finally...
A little bit from LG.
Yeah, a little bit on the future of the Nexus. If you're wondering if LG might be creating yet another Nexus phone, and possibly the last in the Nexus series before Silver comes along, Android Police asked Ken Hong, Global Communications Director of LG, for the details, to which he said... We're not really sure what the status of the Nexus program is. We've been hearing a lot of speculation about its future, but that's a Google decision, not LG's. As of today, there are no Nexus devices in our immediate pipeline. LG is rumored to be one of the launch partners when Silver finally happens, but they denied any knowledge of that either. Keep in mind that 1 year ago, LG said it wasn't working on another stock Android device as well. So, we know where that ended up.
Do we need a talking Ken Hong?
We do need a talking Ken Hong. We need an LG.
Because I feel like we're going to hear lots of quotes from him.
So no LG Nexus, but then,
there was an LG Nexus.
When they say no Nexus, they can't stay away.
Yeah.
And Google loves LG far too much. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised still, even though. All right, let's take another break and thank another sponsor of today's episode. That would be Prosper. In 72 hours, you could have $35,000 to cover your needs. What would you do? Would you pay off high-rate credit cards?
Would you start a business, do that home improvement project that you've been putting off? I know I've been putting off a lot of them. I need to find time and money. Fill out an easy online application, provide a few details, and see a rate online almost instantly. Prosper offers low fixed rates, unsecured personal loans. There's no collateral required. It has multi-year terms available. And, yeah, it's perfect if you're, you know, like me, the new homeowner, and I have more projects than I can even count. And somehow you have to dig up the money for this. And eventually you just can't stand to look at that horrible fence in your backyard or the floor in your kitchen.
I feel like this is personal, Jason.
It really is personal. At a certain point, I'm going to have to take care of that fence, man, because boy. But, you know, you need the money to do it. This is the way to kind of tackle that project. Prosper is Silicon Valley's answer to personal loans. With Prosper's innovative peer-to-peer lending process, there are no outrageous fees, no raising interest rates, and you'll never set foot in a bank. Prosper has more than 2 million members and over $1 billion in funded loans, and it's peer-to-peer lending. So, you know, I've talked about it in the past, but you basically take what you know about peer-to-peer services online and apply that to money, you know, distributed content delivery, file sharing, streaming media. Just take that and put, you know, swap it out with the financial world, and it's essentially peers lending money to you via Prosper, essentially. So you just go to prosper.com/twit to check your rate instantly without affecting your credit score. And for a limited time, Prosper is offering Twit viewers a $50 Visa prepaid card when you get a loan. Just go to prosper.com/twit. It's a special site just for our viewers. Up to $35,000 in just 3 days and a $50 Visa prepaid card. Go to prosper.com/twit. And we thank Prosper for their continued support of All About Android and the Twit Network. Thank you. All right. And we've got a few apps. Now I'm just trying to throw you off. I'm sorry.
Dramatic pause.
Okay. I'm not editing that out either.
Good.
I'm keeping that in.
So is that now All About Android 3, Brian 1? Did we get that?
Because he was asleep. Yes. Okay. Jim B in the chat room says AAA 3, yep. Brian 1. All right.
The judges have ruled.
I was working on this. That's why I couldn't.
Is that LG's Ken Hahn?
It is. I brought him up on Skype. But
I just,
right.
I can't. All right. Ken, it's good to have you on here. What do you have to say?
There will be no LG.
We're not really sure what the status of the Nexus program is. We've been hearing a lot of speculation about its future, but that's a Google decision, not LG's.
Thank you, Ken. And
so says my good friend Jackie Chan.
I really appreciate the both of you coming on the show today. And Brian, you just earned yourself a point.
That's a point. Phew. That's a point. Yeah, that is All About Android 3, Brian 2.
Woohoo!
That's fantastic. Oh, wow.
That's good.
I might even give him a point and a half for that, to be honest with you. But he blew the thing. So, yeah. So, you see, the thing is, you got to do that and keep the show moving. That's what Brian doesn't know.
It's a delicate balance.
Talk about keeping the show moving.
Yeah.
Good segue, at least.
I believe that was on everybody's mind.
Talk about good segues. Every now and then. I'll give him a point for that, too. There we go.
I warned everybody on Google Plus that tonight's show would be firmly, like, off the rails. There we go.
I'm going to score that in Brian's favor. That's a 3-3. So there you go. Right. Every now and then, Jason gives us a gift. Jason puts together the rundown. He finds these great articles, and he finds an article like this, and he gave it to me to talk about.
I give it to you.
Where General Motors Research Division in China have come up with an app called Didi Plate that allows you to scan a license plate and then send a text message to the owner of the license plate of the car. So think about that. You can scan the license plate and it will send a text message to the owner of the car. They did not divulge how the license plates are linked to a phone number. What if someone else is driving? All these wonderful, the security issues and
all that
sort of thing.
Texting while driving?
Well, here are some of the use cases that John Du from GM's China Research and Development, he's GM's China Research and Development Director. Here's some use cases he gave. This is my favorite.
This is great.
Here's a great example. A male driver asks a female driver out on a date. She accepts. all of your texts. Not awkward.
Not only creepy, but heterosexist.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, heteronormative. Yeah, there it is. And then the other use case he provides is that a driver's car is blocked in a parking lot, so she texts the owner of the offending car asking him to move.
I suppose that one, but still, no. This just has abuse written all over it.
Such abuse. Imagine you just scan the license plate and you can send them a text instantly, like talk about privacy and all that sort of. And then think about the solicitations, not those kind of solicitations. I'm talking about the Chinese menus and things like that. But imagine the other solicitations that could occur, too.
I'm sure there would be plenty of all types of solicitations.
Yeah. So there you go. So GM China, building a better future.
Yeah. Chinese market. And GM did say that though it's a prototype app at the moment, they plan to add it into its infotainment system inside cars. So, you know, it could become a thing.
That's some infotainment, all right.
Infotainment, indeed. There we go. All right.
I like that he added that a scenario is male driver.
The very first one is
a male driver can ask a female driver. And she accepts. Like, why did he add the she accepts? Like, that's what I don't understand. Like, we needed an end to that story?
Because she's so amazed by his use of this app.
Listen, I'm
this tech reporter. I'm like, yeah, you know, he gave this whole use case for the app. And he says, a guy could ask a girl out, but he didn't tell me what happened. Oh, she accepted. Okay. That's a great app. Let's sign me up. Like, why do we need an end to that story?
That's a terrible use case.
That's a horrible use case. The parking one was way better. Way better.
Letting someone know that they left their lights on.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Letting someone know that the meter ran out. You know, they're blocking your space.
But imagine you're driving 65 miles an hour on the freeway, and then your phone lights up, and it's like, hey, I'm in the blue Chevy behind you. Want to go out?
Like, nice bumper.
Exactly. Like, how does that, like, I dig your hybrid. Like, what are these pickup lines? And then she accepts. How does she accept? She's driving. You can't text while driving. Don't we have laws?
No, you both pull over.
And turn
from your car and pulled over on the side of the road. Oh boy.
That's the thing. Does this involve a camera, like in the front grille, so you could just shoot the person in front of you and text them? Anyway.
It's fraught with disaster. I love it. I love it.
Pretty awesome.
So, yeah. All right. Well, then. I need a nap now.
Yeah. Well. Let's come down from that one.
Yeah.
And talk about gaming developers. Yeah. It's an obvious segue. Gaming developers.
We're going to hear a lot about this tomorrow. So it could have been the preview block. But anyway, analytics firm App Annie, which I love and use for my own app, published a report that says that Play apps, downloads, and revenue have all seen phenomenal quote-unquote growth this past year, with app revenue more than doubled, up 2.4 times in 1 year. Q1 2014, games represented almost 90% of Play app revenue.
That's crazy.
A lot. It is 90%. Crazy. Wow. It's crazy. Freemium or free to play had a huge impact, accounting for nearly 98% of total Play Store revenue in May 2014. And there are now more apps available in the Play Store, 1.5 million, than Apple's App Store, 1.2 million. This is what Google opens with. When they open the Android segment, right, they're just gonna wow us with numbers and like charts with giant lines and a little robot crawling up them, right? Like you can see this. This is what they do. And so we're gonna hear a lot more about these numbers. Mm-hmm. This is what App Annie's reports are saying. I'm sure that Google's gonna have some big numbers to blow us away with. Mm-hmm. But I mean, how many IOs ago was it that they did this big gaming push?
It was last IO, I think.
Yeah,
they introduced to play.
It worked. Google Play games worked, right? So if Google Play Fitness or Google Fitness does for health apps what Play games did for games.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. That's the same sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Fit is the same sort of games.
And it's never been as good a time as it is right now for games on the Android platform.
Yeah.
Yep. They're coming so fast and so furious. For obvious reasons, because it's incredibly profitable, especially if you're doing freemium style game. As much as people want to knock the free within app purchase model, people pay it. It totally works. Yeah.
To the point where, like, I was on the Google Play Store researching the app for the arena later on, and I was going through the new releases. It is an overwhelmingly large number of apps. Of games compared to apps.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It is just...
It really
is. And they're all over... To the point where I kind of think Google needs to clean up the store a little to say, like, this is a game, this is an app. Like, because games are so overwhelming and there seems like... And they all look great. And they all look, you know, so it really is, you know, it's developing. That's for sure.
Yep. And finally, it's fun to always be, you know, pointing fingers at Facebook for their app, because for years their app really, really sucked. They have a history of just having a poorly
operating app. It was slow.
It was native web.
It's been all over the place. I've definitely noticed an improvement. And some people that are watching this are like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't use Facebook anymore. But I have to use it because, you know, my family and friends are on there. And thankfully, if I have to use it, the app has gone a little better. I thought this was an interesting story. Africa, we have to thank for it, apparently. In this case, Facebook actually sent a team of their engineers and product managers to Africa to purchase low-end devices there and use its infrastructure with their app to see what see what others experience. Because, you know, as developers, I imagine, you know, you try and test on all different types of devices, but I imagine more often than not, you're targeting the high-end devices because you imagine, well, they're the people that have the money and, you know, for a number of reasons.
Well, you have the high-end device and the big pipe. You have the high-end device and the big pipe, right? So,
It's a controlled environment.
Exactly. So it turns out the app repeatedly crashed on these devices, had incredibly slow load times, consumed, in some cases, a month's data allotment within 40 minutes.
Wow.
Based on how it was designed. So they overhauled it based on the research that they did while in Africa. And out of that experience, you know, now images are loaded in sizes that match the screen size and not in full size as they were before. You have the option to download the full size if you want. Features are loaded in a staggered way to prevent a lag at boot up. So instead of loading the app and it loads all the features and it takes forever to load up and it's kind of slow and laggy until it all buffers in or whatever, it kind of loads as a per need basis. And they reduced the app size by 65%. So
wow.
I just thought it was kind of an interesting, you know, give Facebook props where it's due. They obviously had a pretty darn smart approach. Now, not every developer has the ability to send their team or send themselves to Africa and do this. But it's just kind of a good, I think, gut check about the fact that, you know, we aren't, you know, here in the United States at least, and, you know, on our Nexus 5s or whatever, we aren't the only ones using these apps. And there are a lot of other people that have a hard time using the apps because of the way they're designed like that. So,
yeah, I mean, cool. And this is the way you motivate developers, right? Like, developers scratch their own itch, right? So, if their life is miserable, they're going to fix that bug. I always tend to fix the bug that annoys me the most first, right? Because I'm just highly motivated. So I think sending the team to Africa is a really good way. And it's a much different than your manager saying, hey, the app should probably work better on a smaller pipe and a low energy.
Right.
It only would have been better if they didn't let them come back from Africa until it was fixed. That's the that would really be the only thing that would have made this story any better. So,
you can't
They're
come
still
back.
There. It's not good enough. all right, let's thank one last sponsor on today's episode. We want to thank Lantronix and their X-Print server. Whether you're at home or the office, printing from an Android device can be a challenge, to say the least. Printing from your Chromebook or even a Kindle Fire, it's not always that easy. It's kind of difficult. If your printer isn't already Cloud Print enabled, you're out of luck. I know I've talked about it plenty of times. My printer at home is a piece of junk. It's old, and I need to get a new one. But until then, I need something like the Lantronix X-Print server to bring Cloud Print capability to my dumb printer, essentially. X-Print server is this is the Cloud Print edition. And it's an easy setup here, Ron. I'll go ahead and hand this over to you
so you can show it off.
It's an easy to set up, easy to use solution for Google Cloud Print enabled devices, allowing wireless and mobile printing from Chromebook computers, Android phones, and tablets. Even the Kindle Fire it works with. And it works with the printer you already own, whether it's wired or wireless, USB or network. First and only printer server officially certified by Google for Cloud Print and Android printing. And you can print to your existing printers with no need to buy a new one. Even though I really want to buy a new one, I don't have to with this. It's compatible with more than 4,000 top brand printers. It's easy to use, automatic discovery and setup of printers. You just open it up, plug it in, and print. And it even has a nice little light-up X on the logo that lets you know that it's on, and it's kind of pretty. It has advanced configuration available via its web interface. One X-Print server supports multiple printers and virtually unlimited Android devices. It allows your USB printers to be shared with all users over a network. It's great for your home, great for your office, and even works with large multifunction printers. Cloud Print Edition is $149.95. It supports up to 10 network printers
and 8 USB printers simultaneously. So visit xprintserver.com/twit for more information and to buy. And we've got a special offer for you. If you use the code TWIT, you can receive free shipping on your order. Remember, visit xprintserver.com/twit, and at checkout, enter the code TWIT. And we thank Lantronics for their support of All About Android. All right, it is that time. It's time to step into the arena. Hey, you got that one.
Thanks, Jason.
The point where we're celebrating mediocrity. This is what we've come to, Brian.
It's true.
I like your arena voice. Whenever you go into the arena, you get deep.
Yeah, get serious. Yeah. I like it.
Thank you. I work on that far too often.
I didn't do that last week.
Brian, I will reward you with Laffy Taffy if you win.
The next version of Android?
No, just this banana-flavored Laffy Taffy.
Oh, you can hang on to that.
That's all I got. Last week, I was not here, but let's see. It was episode 166, and we had Trigger, Ready Contact List, and Online Privacy Shield. Who belonged to what?
I was Online Privacy Shield.
I was Ready Contact List Beta.
Okay, and Trigger was Kevin Purdy.
Yep.
Results are in. It's Ready Contact List Beta, 41%.
Pretty cool.
Boom.
Yeah. Thank you. It was a cool app. It was basically a dialer and contacts replacement app.
Mm-hmm.
Very pretty, very nice. The developers got in touch and thanked me for showing it. Yeah, it was nice.
Always
it was
nice of them.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. But yeah, no, I was worried that the beta, because it's part of the...
Yeah, you never know.
Well, no, but the thing is, you had to opt into their community on Google Plus, and then it's hidden in the Google Play Store unless you're part of the beta group and all stuff. But it seems to be pretty good. So, and Online Privacy Shield, as the week went on, I was like using it. I was like, oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. Although it just makes you more and more creeped out about...
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Oh, it's I'm going to go there this week as well, too. So, yeah, there you go.
Online Privacy Shield, of course, got 31% of the vote. Trigger with 29%.
Yeah, we had a little bit. Trigger was our first kind of the chat room got a little ornery on us because Trigger was a previously named app that was in the arena earlier.
Oh.
And we didn't catch it because they changed the name of the app. But we decided, all of us together with the chat room agreed, that we were going to, because Kevin was a guest and it was a new name, we'll let it slide. But now we got to worry about them changing the names of the apps.
Yeah,
so, it's too much to track.
Yeah, too much to track.
Okay, so who goes first?
Not me, because I won.
Okay, well, I was out, so I'll go first. Mine's not going to take very long anyway. So I've been meaning to root my Nexus 5 for a while now, particularly because the Android App Arena show, I want to have times where I focus on root apps and show them off. But I didn't want to root my device and, you know, have to start over from scratch and all that kind of stuff. And I also kind of just didn't want to go through the process of, you know, even though it's the easiest thing in the world, but ADB, you know, go in there and plug it into a PC and do that whole thing. I really just wanted to be lazy this time. GeoHot, do you guys know GeoHot? No. George Hotz, he's a kind of a famed hacker.
Rooter.
He was the first person to carry or unlock the iPhone back in the day, whatever the day is. He was the person
that hacked the
unhackable PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
He worked at Facebook for a very short minute and then didn't, and we have no idea why. Anyways, there's that. He's now the first person to root the unrootable AT&T and Verizon Galaxy S5 and eventually the Note 3 with this app. Now, you're not going to find this in the Play Store, and I'll do my standard disclaimer here. You're rooting your device if you're using this, and so you're probably breaking your warranty. By definition, you're making your phone less secure because you're checking the unknown sources box and allowing yourself to install an APK that Google will warn you is, you know, not something that they encourage because it's basically rooting your device. The reason I liked this, though, is because, A, GeoHot, I mean, in the world of kind of people that you can trust more or less, GeoHot has a history, has a background, so... You know, this is always kind of a judgment case that you make, right? Do I trust this person's ability to make my phone incredibly insecure? With GeoHot, personally, I do, but you have to make that decision on your own. But it's basically an app that I will have a link in the show notes at twit.tv/AAA that you can literally run on any device that has
an unpatched Linux kernel with a build date earlier than June 3rd, 2014. So it was created to get around the unrootable AT&T Verizon Galaxy S5 and Note 3 kind of difficulty, but it actually works on many other devices. Let's see here. Oh, I didn't add the shortcut, so now I got to go searching for it. Here's all my apps on my phone. Oh, hey, Netflix has a new icon. I didn't know that.
Hey. They have a new logo. Really? We all rushed to our phone to go look.
Here it is. Okay, so it's called Towel Root. I realized I didn't say that. There we go. Towel Root by GeoHot. Literally, I downloaded this. I had my unknown sources checked. I opened the app. I did click Make It Rain, that button right there. It took 0.5 seconds, I'd say, and I was rooted. It was the easiest thing in the world. It didn't wipe any of my information. It didn't do anything. That was it. I verified this by installing Super User and running it, and everything was good there. I installed Titanium Backup, and now I can back up my entire device. It was just
nice.
The reason I like the app is because it was the easiest damn rooting situation I've ever encountered on my phone, and I like easy. So.
Wow.
That is it. There wasn't even reboot required. I literally...
Yeah, it says, no more reboot required.
Hit it, and it was like, you're rooted. And I didn't believe it. I was like, oh, I'm so going to like run one of these root apps, and it's going to tell me that I'm not. And it was. So there you go. It's confirmed to work with the GS5 on AT&T, the GS5 on Verizon, the GS4 Active, the Nexus 5, AT&T Verizon Note 3, and a number of other phones. And the thing to remember about this is, A, you know, do it at your own risk, but B, if you do a search for the XDA entry for this, and I'm sorry, I'm not looking at it right now, and I don't have it in the doc. Maybe I'll add it later. But there's a whole bunch of comments from people who have tried it on different configurations, different devices that it's working on. And it all ties into your Linux kernel. As long as it's build date earlier than June 3rd, 2014, there's a chance that it might work for your device, and it's pretty darn easy. So, like Bleak in the chat room saying, it doesn't work on the HTC One M7. And if I remember correctly, HTC might be one of the manufacturers that it doesn't work for. So it definitely doesn't work for some. But there you go. So it's called Towel Root by GeoHot. You're not going to find it on the Play Store. You're going to find it through the site towelroot.com. And it's just super simple. Now I'm rooted. So I'm going to run root apps again after months of not doing so.
It's awesome.
That's tempting. Tempting me.
I'm scared. I'm still scared. Rooting scares me. I want to stay stock. I don't know. But that's really easy.
Yeah.
And that opens a whole bunch of...
You're in the perfect position to do it, though, right? Because your new phone's on its way.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe you don't do it until the new phone is in your paws.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, don't do it the night before I.O.
That's a smart idea.
You never know what good decision will land on your phone.
Oh, I was dying. When my Nexus 5 died, it was the night I had to stay late at work. So I was at work until like 9 o'clock. And it died like at like 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, and I like an hour or two after it died, I was getting IM. Somebody's like, "Why aren't you answering your texts?" I'm like, "I can't." Like just having like 5 hours with no phone, mm-hmm. and then it took me. I factory reset this, and I had to download system updates like three or four in a row. It was awful. I was up till like midnight doing it. It was horrible.
And Bleak in the chat room is saying root is stock. That's true. This is
true.
But it depends on what you're talking about stock.
Yeah,
like when you're saying stock, you're saying I want. An untainted device.
That's what I mean.
I want a device as it is, pulling it out of the box. And this is definitely not that. This opens up some insecurities. And just for the record, if you run it and it doesn't work, it's not going to like mess up your phone.
Right.
It just won't work. You'll run a root verifier app or something that should be root, and it just won't work. It'll say you're unrooted. So there isn't a whole lot to lose, but use at your own risk. So who is next? Gina, I suppose it would be you.
Yes, I should be next. Yeah, so yeah. I was the big loser last week.
Let's do you next.
Do me this week. Relative to you, Ron. Yes. So, version out.
Eclipsed by you, Ron.
Let's be honest. I have my moments.
Well, so my pick this week is called, it's an alarm clock. It's called Lifetime Alarm Clock. Lifetime is two words. And I picked Lifetime Alarm Clock because I am not a morning person, and the stock alarm just wasn't doing it for me. And we featured a few different alarm clocks here in the arena, including Timely, which was a favorite for sure.
And now a Google property.
Yes, and now a Google property. But development has basically halted, right, on that. So I decided to try out Lifetime Alarm Clock, especially this morning, because I had to wake up at 4:30 to catch my flight from New York to get here. And Lifetime Alarm Clock, I've been using it for a week. It has more features than I've even been able to try in a week. But it's got a few really great features. Now, I'm one of those people like who can hit the snooze button every 8 minutes for an hour.
Dangerous.
And it drives my other half nuts. Okay. So what I really like about Lifetime Alarm Clock, you set an alarm and you get a choice. You can choose, you know, wake me up gently, give me something hard and fast and just blast me out of bed, or give me just a regular alarm clock. That's pretty nice. You can set a limit on how many times you can snooze, like only let me snooze for 20 minutes. The gentle one, which is the one I use because I need gentleness in the morning.
Peaceful wake.
Yes, thank you. Starts just really soft and kind of like the volume softly goes up, which is really, really nice. You can set a pre-alarm where it will just sound this like really soft tone a couple minutes before your alarm's supposed to go off. Also, just sort of alert your brain. It's time to wake up. And the interface is really cool. As you can see up on the screen there, the interface for setting the alarm is this really kind of nice circular screen to set the times, which is, it's really not standard Android design, but it's really nice. You can set the clock to be in night mode or day mode. And there's a bunch of other stuff that you can do. There's a flashlight.
Here's gentle alarm.
Yes, that's gentle alarm. That's what I wake up to in the morning.
It's just too subtle. I would never wake up to that.
Once it gets closer to the black dot, I think.
Yeah, yes.
It's not channeling.
Audio's not working.
Oh, the audio is not channeling, but it eventually comes on.
Oh yeah, I've got to go through the mic. That's weird.
That big disable swipe is when you're like sort of fumbling in the morning. Yeah. You're not quite awake. You can turn it on.
There it is.
Exactly. Ooh. Exactly. Ah. Or you could just tap the whole big yellow button to snooze.
That's snooze. I see.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really good alarm clock. I like it a lot. It works on a lot of different... Yeah, there's a flashlight.
Why not?
Yeah. I think that you can set your own alarm tones for MP3 files. I found the default ones completely fine. You can do things like if you need to wake up early to put clothes in the dryer, you can press ring next alarm early and adjust the next alarm. And after that, they're back to normal because you can schedule your alarms. Like things that you never really thought you'd ever want to do with your alarm clock. Personally, I was just really into the sort of the gentle wake and the pre-tone, which is really nice. This morning, I was like, I don't want to wake up anybody else in the house. I got to jump out of bed and it totally worked for me.
I like that there's an option to take the icon out of the status bar.
Yes.
Because some alarm clocks like
are just
because
up there.
Especially if it's an alarm that's every day for you.
Yep.
And you just always have an alarm clock up in the status bar. And it's like, no, I don't need that up there. I think that's required by Android, actually.
Is it really?
You have to have an option to take it off.
In the notification bar.
Interesting.
That it has to be there.
It has to be there. I've seen a lot of other developers, they get complaints. The same complaint you have. Why do you put this in my action bar?
Notification. For things that are going to fire later? For specifically alarms?
Persistent apps that are running?
Interesting.
I'm pretty sure.
The persistent notification. I see what you're saying. Yes, because that's exactly what it is. It shows up on the left side. I think what I was thinking is, when you have an alarm set and it shows up right there.
Oh, yeah, I guess that is a little different.
But you're right. If an app is in an always running state, this notification has to be there. So I wonder.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just not playing by the rules.
It's possible. I took it out. I don't like to have. I don't want to be reminded of the fact that I need to wake up in the morning. Mm-hmm.
It's unpleasant enough. Dwell on it.
Yes. Also great for naps, which I'm a big fan of as well. So that's Lifetime
Alarm
Clock.
I don't remember what those are like anymore, though.
I like the wake challenges to prove you're awake.
The wake challenge.
That's a great thing. Like, I was looking at that because that was, because in college I used to put my alarm clock across the room. So I get up and I hit snooze. By the time I got to bed, I was awake. So if you can give me something to do where I'm actually active and solving a puzzle is a good way to do it. Where you're like, well, and then you're up. Waking up is the worst.
Waking up is hard.
It's hard.
What is the
fast and hard alarm?
Isn't that a song?
I haven't even tried with the fast and hard.
Oh, that's breaking up is hard to do.
What does the fast and hard alarm clock sound like? There's a mode, fast and hard.
Yes. That was scary to me. I don't need like I don't need machine guns Metallica in the morning or like construction or I mean, can you imagine
challenges and blaring noises.
Right,
like blaring noises right there. Yeah. That's enough for me to be like, I don't know if I need this first thing in the morning. Yeah.
Like the basic training air raid horn, air raid siren.
My town the town I'm from on Long Island has a loud air raid siren kind of thing for three things. When it's noon.
Okay.
When there's a fire.
Okay.
And when school's canceled because of snow.
That's a good one.
And like growing up, like it was like literally it was like you'd... Not like that. Yeah, that's like Star Trek.
That is Star Trek.
Yeah. But it would be so weird. It would start snowing. It'd be like, is school canceled? My dad would be like, yeah, wait till 7 to hear if the alarm blow. And then you'd hear this. It's like, man, we don't go to school. I'm like, how does that work? That would never work now. So, yeah. So, anyway,
it's funny. So when it goes off, I'll let you know
We'll hear it. Yeah. Yeah. All right, cool. All right, moving on.
Cool. So lifetime alarm clock, and that is
free.
Awesome. I like the built-in bonus flashlight. That's cool. Why not?
What the hey?
All right, excellent. All right, so Michael, what do you have? Speaking of games.
Okay, game, right? So I have a game, and it's kind of a really easy, quick hand jamming game. So basically, this reminds me of the old school game Galaga. The name of the app is called. What is it called? Abyss Attack. It's by Chilingo, which is a really good developer.
That is
that's
fast and hard.
Rock and roll, actually. That's pretty...
I hate the app.
Whoa. Just make it stop. Make the bad music stop.
Oh, man, it's snooze. That means it's going to come on again. Oh, and then...
Wake challenge.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Cool.
Sorry about that.
No worries. If it wasn't a little off the rail, I'd kind of feel uncomfortable. we have expectations.
Yes.
We do.
So Abyss Attack, it's basically kind of a shooter game, not a first-person shooter, but you'll see. It reminds me a lot of Galaga. Basically, it's like a shooter game where you are a submarine and you're going through these different environments with all sorts of different power-ups and, challenges. So what I really like about it is it is free-to-play with in-app purchases, but, the ads are between levels and stuff. The ads are not very in your face. And also, you really don't need to pay if you don't want. When I first bought the app, I bought, I think, one small package, $4.99, double my points or whatever. But I've never paid since that. And it's just a really great game, super easy to pick up and play for 5 minutes. And then the other thing is the soundtrack's fine, but I generally like listen to podcasts or something. So it's a great kind of like mindless game to play when you're, you don't want to be involved in like a really serious like strategy game or something. Mm-hmm. It's just like a quick game. So I'll do a quick demo, although...
Are you getting the video, Brian?
I'm not seeing anything.
It may be my device, actually. Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't work last week, by the way. I don't know how you get yours to work.
MHL. Well, I mean, you saw the video. So the cool thing is there's lots of different power-ups. You can you get two power-ups you get to use. You can see on the right-hand side there's that little red button. So there's like electric power-ups, and this is the bomb power-ups. In addition to the different power-ups you can use, there's a bunch of different bosses, so that keeps things interesting. And then the last kind of interesting thing is you pick up little jewels to, get points and buy stuff. There's also these things called relics, which are a different thing you pick up, and those allow you to have a different type of power-up. For instance, the one that I use puts a little burst out every 2 seconds to push people away. But anyway, there's like dozens and dozens of these different relic power-ups that allow you to change the dynamics of your player to have certain characteristics. So it's like a really quick, easy game to pick up and play. And then there's lots of different levels and challenges that keep things interesting. So it's more than just kind of like a mindless jammer. There's lots of different nuances and it's really fun. So
it's got a cool little steampunk angle to it.
It does.
Yeah.
It's really kind of a classic old school shooter that's kind of been updated with some new kind of fun.
Little Jules Verne action going on, and yeah.
So it's one that I played a while. You know, when I was looking for games, I'm thinking of, you know, looking for cool games or whatever, and it's one that I play all the time, so it's kind of grabs me personally.
Smooth graphics to it. Easy to, yeah, pretty easy to understand and pick up and just go right away.
Gina just jumps on board immediately. She's installing it literally right now.
Not a big gamer, but I'm sold.
She's on board.
You know, it's funny. I've spent so long, like, not, like, and I still don't have a whole lot of time to play games, but there's so many good games on Android right now that it's hard for me to, like, not install them and play them, and especially now with Android App Arena, like, it's part of my job, so maybe that's how I'm finding time to play games, but...
Yeah, it's like if you want to understand the ecosystem now, this is just such a big part of it,
but there's just so many great games on
Android. It's
Android
App Arena, not Android Game Arena. That's a different show.
Come on, Ron! Hey, Ron, don't distract me right now. I'm dying.
You're playing.
Dang it.
Save me! Save me! Oh, so you get billed when you try to restart, like, it's all the...
Oh, you can use extra...
gems.
You do awesome
gems to stay stay alive or stuff.
Yeah.
But I really haven't spent a lot of.
Oh, that's clever! You get 1,000 for logging in Facebook with your Facebook account.
Yeah,
that's how they get you.
That's it. Yep. Like, go ahead, share some more with us. Hey, you get some coins to boot. So, cool. So this is Abyss Attack. I'm happy we at least got it running.
people can see it.
Aside from the demo. But there you go. It's Abyss Attack. It is free with some in-app purchases, if that's your thing. But it doesn't sound like they're necessary. So that's good as well.
Cool.
Cool stuff. All right. I'm going to stop playing. Otherwise, it's going to...
That's the music from the game.
Okay. All right. Ron, you're up next.
Well, if you're like me... And Jason and Gina and Michael and everybody else here, you probably use your phone a lot. You've probably at some point had someone go, God, put your phone down. God, that was fast and hard.
That scared me. That actually scared me this time.
It did.
I jumped.
You jumped.
Disable.
That was great.
It doesn't. It just keeps going. Seriously. Stop. I think I would jump out the window at this
point. My app is totally trolling you.
It will not let me stop it without solving the...
Can you seriously not stop it without solving the challenge?
Here, I'm plugging in the headphone, and don't pull it up.
That's funny. With the headphone in, it's still making noise.
Too smart. I'm going to have to, like, take my phone away from the set. I'll be back.
Do you want to start?
What's going on?
Can we complete the challenge? Is the challenge that challenging?
Jason just left. This has never happened before. This is unprecedented.
This is unprecedented.
Google I.O. has gotten the best of them.
It's under a pillow.
I'm sorry.
I'm scared of your app, Gina.
I know, sorry.
How do I follow this?
It's a really good alarm. Like, you...
You cannot sleep through that.
Wow.
Really good.
It's just going. I can hear it. All right.
We could attempt to...
We're going to press on. Okay. If you're like me, and I think you are, you probably use your phone too much, and people probably say, hey, look at me, don't look at your phone, and that sort of thing. If you've ever worried or were curious about how much you actually use your phone, Break Free is the app that you probably want to install. It is an app that monitors your phone and app usage and then tells you how much you're using. It applies a score based off the number of times that you unlock your phone, the number of times you interact with applications, the amount of time you spend on applications, and basically tells you whether you're addicted or not, whether you need to get away or not, and has a nice little merit system based off of you actually not using your phone. So it's interesting because we do all probably use our phone too much, and sometimes you need hard numbers to actually prove that to you. They've got this cute little animation to kind of push it aside. But, if you look at the screenshots, you can see basically when you open up the app, it gives you a score based off how addicted you are and tells you how many times you've unlocked your screen or used your phone. It is free in the Android, in the Google Play Store, but you need to unlock the pro settings to get the app usage amounts. So if you go back to the app usage screen there, Brian, you're going a little too fast there, buddy. Speedy. Go to the next one. Nope. All right, Brian. That's one for All About Android. So if you pay the $1.99, you can unlock the pro thing. It will tell you how often you use it. So this particular user using Chrome for 25 minutes, Facebook for 10 minutes, etc. You can get individual statistics for individual apps. So for call usage in the next screen, you can see how many incoming calls you've got versus outgoing calls and the total call time, which is interesting. What's also neat is that it gives you function to control your phone to give you time away from your phone. So if you look at the next screen, you can see that you can use the app to disable notification sounds, disable all sounds, disable the internet. Reject all calls. You can auto text somebody calling you saying, "Hey, I can't use your take your call because I'm not using my phone." And you can set the duration that this actually happens. So you can say, "Listen, I need a half an hour timeout." You can turn off basically everything on your phone, which is kind of interesting. The thing is, you know, it gives you enough control so that you can say, "Hey, listen, there are some apps that I do need to use," and you can actually exclude apps from your addiction score. So, like, listen, you know, Google Maps really, like, that's actually a functioning app that I need. It's not part of my addiction, but, you know, 7x7, I'm totally addicted to, and I want to be told when I'm being addicted to it. So I thought it'd be fun here if we can just take the over-shoulder shot. I've been using this app for about 24 hours or so. And now, live on camera, I'm going to open it up, and you can see what my addiction score is.
Well, that looks like... Is that ice cream sandwich?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
All right, you got it, Brian? All right, so we're going to open up Break Free, and it is going to check my phone. Oh, why didn't I do that?
Get a life, Ron.
Let's do it again. Ready? And so now it is... Remind me later. Okay, it's going to calculate my score. And currently, right now, I have a 65. I've unlocked my screen 110 times, and I've used my phone for an hour and a half. So, according to this, I am going overboard. I'm out of control.
You unlocked your screen 110 times in 24 hours?
Yeah, less than 24 hours.
That's my judging you voice.
Yeah.
Just in case we're unclear.
Well, none of us have ever
Gina done that. And the app are judging you.
You have a 45-minute commute to Berkeley from San Francisco, and you tell me how many times you unlock your phone. Jeez. I never. So what's really interesting is what's fun with this is that, you know, like, whether depending on how serious you want to be about it, the app is lighthearted. It kind of pokes fun at you and teases you. But some of the functionality is really neat. The limiting of functionality is interesting. I have a lot of friends who are writers and try to control their interruptions. So if you're in a job or if you're in a position where you need to not be interrupted for a certain amount of time, it's really neat to be able to use this to say, okay, I'm going dark for an hour so I can bang this out. And that's kind of a neat way to do it, and a fun way to do it. And they've got all the little game stuff. You can get little gems and stuff like that for green bar awards and things like that. But it's safe to say that I am addicted to my phone. So sorry.
Just think at how much Android wear the watch will lower your addiction score.
Think about that. Although we'll count it. It will make it even worse. Yeah, exactly.
We don't really unlock the watch. Well, we don't know.
We don't know. We're gonna find out.
We're gonna find out.
I can't wait. All right. So Break Free. It's free in the Google Play Store. $1.99 in-app purchase. To go pro to get the full unlocked, all the statistics and all that sort of stuff. But listen, if you are concerned about your phone use or you're concerned about someone else's phone use, Break Free is a great way to stage an intervention. So there you go.
Good picks.
Yeah.
Good picks. And I figured out the alarm. I just had to take a couple of deep breaths.
Take a breath and you finish the challenge?
That was stressful. Yes, I finished the challenge.
<I'm> sorry. See, that's why I didn't do fast and hard with the challenge.
Man. And then while you were talking, I could have swear I heard the music suddenly again. And it's going to keep you
up
at night.
You're
going to hear it all night. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It's hard and fast, man.
Oh, man. Right. Never. That's no way to start a day. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm totally with you, man.
Okay.
I hadn't even tried it. Thanks for the demo.
But it's an effective app. Really good alarm clock app. Okay, vote for your favorite app from this week by going to AAApoll.com/167. Is it Towel Root by GeoHot? Lifetime Alarm Clock, the world's most effective alarm clock ever. Abyss Attack or Break Free? Early reports are in. Oh, what are you going to vote for? Oh, okay.
Look at that.
Wow. Towel Root.
There you go.
So
three
far.
Votes. Yeah,
we'll see. Lifetime
impressive.
Alarm Clock. I mean, these are all great apps. We'll see where this
see,
ends
See, admittedly,
up.
Break Free makes you admit things about yourself.
Yeah.
It's a challenge. Exactly. Yeah. You've got to be willing to grow. So, yeah. No.
And I've seen a couple of people in chat already that have said they ran. Zcam said, I just did Towel Root on my Nexus 7, which had OTA 4.4.4, and it worked.
Yeah, that's good news.
That's cool.
Interesting. Right, so there you have it. This supersized episode of All About Android.
It. This has been a rough 2 weeks. Let me tell you, folks. First with Jason being out, and then 3IO, and then that alarm clock.
That alarm clock is, that's the topper.
telling you, man.
It's not a bad thing, Gina. That's a really effective alarm clock.
I'm trying to make an impression here.
Yeah.
Well, you made an impression. For sure.
I sent Jason away from the table.
Never unprecedented. Never happened before.
I didn't know what to do.
Literally, you ran. You ran. I'm going to make an animated GIF of that.
Then we can still hear it.
I don't know how to make animated GIFs.
I freaked.
Someone on Tumblr can.
Well, I hope that you all enjoy that alarm clock as much as we did. And I know that Michael, it's always having you on right before Google I.O. So thank you for
making
the pilgrimage up to the Twit studio.
Yeah, awesome.
Our annual event.
That's right.
Nice. I like it.
So where can people kind of follow the work that you're doing? What you up to?
I don't really have anything to plug. MikeWolfson.com is where you can find me. If you are looking to support some developers, just go pick a great app that you love and go rate them 5 stars. Any app.
Good suggestion.
Yeah, I like it.
See, it's that attitude that got you as a developer expert.
Yeah,
that's good.
So,
I know. Right? I like it. It's a positive attitude. I dig it.
Share the love.
I like that a lot. Good that Google's recognized. That's great. Yeah.
And at Mike Wolfson on Twitter. Cool. Yep. Thanks again. And
my pleasure.
Running into you tomorrow, I imagine.
Literally running into you.
Yep.
As he's running in to get his seat.
As I'm looking
running
at my
to
watch.
Get his watch. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, fun times. All right. If you like this nonsense, you can go to about.me/RonXO and you can go find my links to Google Plus and Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all that fun stuff. And by day, I'm over in Berkeley at Image Comics headquarters, helping to publish some of the best comics in the world. You can go to imagecomics.com where you can actually, tomorrow on sale is Outcast number 1, which is a new comic book from Robert Kirkman of The Walking Dead.
Oh.
So we're very excited for that. It's a brand new demons and exorcisms and stuff like that. So it should be pretty exciting. So
sweet.
The issue's already sold out, but you can get a digital version at Comixology or at on iBooks or Google Play Store or on imagecomics.com.
I'd imagine the hit TV show is a few years out.
It's already in development, actually. Yep.
So, less than that.
Yep.
Okay, there you go.
There you go.
Gina, it's awesome having you in studio.
It's awesome to be here. I don't know where to look. I'm like, look at all the cameras and the lights, and Jason's so tall, and like, I think I spit on Ron. It was crazy. It was really, really good to be here.
I spit on Ron every week. It's awesome.
It's pretty much, it's a standard kind of. You know,
there's the Snapple right there. Yeah, it is. Awesome. It was really, really great to be here. I'm so excited for I.O. tomorrow. I'm going to be back here in studio tomorrow to do Twig
after
the keynote. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really glad. Really good to be here with you guys.
Yay.
Cool. Where can people follow the things you're up to?
You can find everything that I'm working on at ginatrepani.org. When I'm not talking here on Twit, I work on an app called ThinkUp, thinkup.com.
Which is awesome.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's social networking analytics for humans, kind of fun facts about how you spend your time on Facebook and Twitter. And I've also got a little Android app. It's called ToDoText, todotext.com. You can check it out. It's a little to-do list. Syncs up to Dropbox. And yeah, that's about it.
Fantastic.
I like how my ThinkUp has become the default ThinkUp example, by the way. Thank you for that, Brian.
No problem,
Brian.
Yeah.
You should drop a few F-bombs in your Twitter feed so that you get that.
I actually don't, though, because we talk about this.
Ron XO gives good ThinkUp.
Because my Twitter's linked to my Facebook. My mom's on Facebook, so I don't curse because I don't curse in front of my parents. So, yeah, that's good.
Noble.
But in person, I got a potty mouth, let me tell you.
It's true. Brian, you can attest to that, right?
Oh, yeah. As soon as Ron gets into the studio, the first thing I hear is F-bombs dropping and stuff. So that's how he makes his introduction.
Yeah, that's true. What you got going on, Brian?
Not too much. When I'm not doing this show, trying to keep track of if I'm beating the show or not. What's my score at right now anyway? Like, I think I was losing by one.
Yeah, you're losing by one, I'm pretty sure. I think it's 4-3 at this point.
All right, well, I'll try and fix that next week. Yeah. But tomorrow I'll be TDing with This Week in Google. So I'll see Gina again tomorrow. And
awesome.
I do Know How on Thursdays. And I'm about ready to go home. So what do you do, Jason?
You're just rubbing it in. I'm not going home anytime soon tonight. You can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. Follow my musical exploits, yellowgoldmusic.com. Catch my new show that launched a couple of weeks ago called Android App Arena. You may have heard of this arena thing,
which
from
is
this
it,
show.
As I was reinstalling apps on my new old phone, I installed Pocket Cast, and I was looking at the charts, and it is very high up in the charts.
Yeah,
on
it's
Pocket
doing okay.
Cast.
Yeah,
congratulations!
It's a nice little launch. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
good job. This show, man, the Android App Arena. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's edited and produced galore. Live is a lot easier than post-produced.
Yeah.
So I have to figure out how to tighten it up a little bit. But I hope you enjoy it. Go to twit.tv/arena to check out episodes of that.
Just before we wrap up, don't miss tomorrow's live coverage, TWiT's live coverage of the Google I.O. keynote. That's tomorrow morning, June 25th. A lot of you are going to be listening to this after the fact, but if you want to check it out, you still can. It's going to be the Tech News Today replacement show. Leo Laporte's going to be hosting that with a few special guests. Starts at 9 a.m. Pacific tomorrow morning. Leo and guests are going to, catch the keynote live with everybody in the chat room and talk about it and discuss all the events that happen. That's live.twit.tv tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Pacific. All right. Phew. Supersized episode of All About Android is done. That's it for this week. You can leave us a voicemail by going to 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email. We're at AAA@twit.tv. We are on Twitter. We're at Android Show on Twitter. We're on Google Plus. We have a community as well as an account there, but just search for the community. That's where most people end up. On Reddit, we are twitaaa.reddit.com, where you can up and downvote stories that you want included in the show. I definitely look at that. Show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. You can also find our episodes on YouTube and iTunes. And you can catch us live every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. So for this week, we'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android.